of American Idol is David Cook.
I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this May 22nd, Thursday edition of Calling for Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and Dr. Paul Dean will be back in the studio on Monday. So I'll be with you both today and then also tomorrow as well. And then Dr. Dean will be back on Monday with you. Today we're going to talk about a very interesting subject. We're going to talk about a book called The Path to Purpose. Now, the reason why I scheduled this interview at this particular time was I wanted to do a follow-up from the interview that we did with the two Harris brothers. We had Alex and Brett Harris with us on the program, and we talked about their book, which was a book that I think the subtitle was something along the line of A Rebellion Against Low Expectations for Teenagers. And on that book, in that interview, we talked about just how teenagers have low expectations for themselves, and we talked about how that some parents and just adults have low expectation of teenagers. And the book was designed, it was called Do Hard Things, and it was designed to motivate young people to break out of that mode of low expectations and to do hard things in their life. Well, after that that interview that we did, and after reading that book, I was starting to read this book called A Path to Purpose, Helping Our Children Find Their Calling in Life. And I thought that this would be an excellent follow-up, because the first book, Do Hard Things, dealt with motivation, if you will, you know, motivating young people to do hard things. This particular book, though, kind of stresses the idea of what should they be motivated about. It's hard to get people motivated when you're not quite sure what the ultimate end is or what the purpose is that you're being motivated for. Let me read a little bit of what I put on the blog here this morning. I wrote this 10 years ago. William Damon's book, Great Expectations, shocked and influenced our educational community by challenging the then prevailing tendency to overindulge our children. And so he's written a book, this book, Great Expectations, that really, in that book, challenged the idea of the self-esteem and everything that was the very popular notion about the importance of self-esteem. And so Dr. Damon has written about that subject. Now he returns to the youth development debate with The Path to Purpose, Helping Our Children Find Their Calling in Life. And Dr. Damon makes the much-needed case for the primary importance of purpose in raising and educating today's youth by compelling us to look at how kids are developing today and why so many of them end up stalled in their emotional or intellectual maturation. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, is this failure to launch, if you will. Why so many young people are staying home longer, why they are lacking career motivation, why they're struggling to make timely transitions into adulthood. And so I think all of these things are very, very important subjects. This is not necessarily, or I guess I could say right out, it's not a Christian book per se, but the truths that are contained in here, the principles that are taught in this book by Dr. Damon, really cross the line of Christian and non-Christian alike in just dealing with our children in order to help them develop their purpose in life. And so I think it's going to be a very, very interesting study, a very, very interesting interview here today with Dr. Damon. So without any further ado, let me bring Dr. Damon, who is just a well-known educator, of course, the author of this book, into the discussion here with us today. He's also a Stanford professor. So, Dr. Damon, welcome into the radio program today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Okay. I should mention that you're the professor at Stanford University and the director of the Stanford Center on Adolescence. You've written a number of books, your latest one being here, The Path to Purpose, Helping Our Children Find Their Calling in Life. Dr. Damon, I found your material here very, very interesting, and I thought that maybe we could start with a simple question of what inspired you to do this research on the topic of purpose?
Well, actually, in your introduction, you kind of went down that road a bit because, mm-hmm. as you said, I had written a book 10 years ago about the problem of low standards and low expectations. And I think in my observations over the last 10 years, I think actually that situation has improved a bit. A lot of people at least are now recognizing that kids love challenges. They actually do better when you set high goals for them and mm-hmm. get them moving. But what I have been noticing in my own research and observations is that a lot of young people are actually doing what we expect of them. They're working hard, they're busy, they're filling their schedules up with all kinds of activities. They're going to school, they're getting good grades, they're graduating. But then they hit the early part of adulthood, maybe in college or in some other track if they're not in college, after school, mm-hmm. and they burn out, or they feel empty, or they drift, or they fail to actually get out and find something that they really believe in or are dedicated to. And there's a lot of anxiety and discomfort, some confusion, some even cynicism among a lot of young people today. And I decided that the problem that I had been working on before, which is to try to elevate moral and achievement standards for kids, even though I still completely believe that's necessary, mm-hmm. that wasn't the whole answer. That was kind of a half-completed sentence. And the most important part that I had not really realized before was that you have to help kids answer the question, why? Why am I striving? Why am I trying to get good grades and graduate school and keep on track and do all that? What am I aiming towards? Mm. What kind of person do I want to be? What kind of accomplishment beyond myself, beyond my own self-oriented desires, do I really feel proud of? How can I make a difference in the world? And that's the question of purpose. And I think that in my research and travels around the country on this, I really do believe that I've identified kind of our next frontier of things that we really need to be concerned about with this generation of young people, which is to combat this kind of prevalent sense of almost emptiness that so many young people feel mm-hmm. and drift, and try to help them find something that they really, truly can commit to, can dedicate themselves to, that they can believe in.
Hmm. You know, I've noticed that exact same thing. I have three grown children. You know, the youngest is 20 years old, and daughters, and they have had a number of friends over the house over the years, whether in high school or in college, or just a number of young people have been at the house at various times, and I just have made it a practice when they come. I don't know why. I'm generally or genuinely interested in what they're going to do, but I've made it a practice over the years just to get in conversations with them, and the conversation inevitably goes to the subject of what would you like to do with your life? You know, here's where you're at. This you're in, later stages of high school or early stages of college. And, you know, what are you hoping to do with your life? And I've been very surprised that probably, if I had to put a figure on it, I would say 90% of the young people in our home had no clue what they were hoping to do with the rest of their life. And then talking to some after they had gone to college or, you know, a few years of college anyway, some sort of training, I find in talking with those that whatever they had decided to go to college for, in many cases, is not what they actually are doing today. That, in fact, sometimes it's not even related at all. It's very disconnected. So I've not only found this, you found it in your research, but I've found it in my own personal experience talking with young people as well. We have to take a very quick commercial break, but when we come back, I was wondering if we could give us a good working definition for our discussion today as to what we mean by purpose. I think that would be helpful in our discussion.
Sure.
To our listeners today, I want to let you know that, first of all, I got a couple copies of the book, so if you'd like to get one, you can do that. I'll tell you how when we come back from the break. That's 1-888-660-WLFJ. We'll be back in just a few minutes with our special guest, Dr. William Damon.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
We can pray the Lord's Prayer as a matter of rote and completely miss the content of it as an empty ritual. And any ritual, as rich as it may be in its origin, may lose its meaning by mindless repetitions of it. The cure to externalism and ritualism, according to the prophets, was not to throw out the ritual, but to reform them. And
renewing your mind, weekday mornings at 9 on Christian Talk 660.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Jane, we deal with a lot of issues in counseling.
We do, but the wonderful thing is that God's Word has the answers.
That's right. The Bible does say that in it we've been given everything we need for life and godliness.
And that's why our commitment at the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling is to give God's counsel to God's people, whether you suffer from depression, anxiety, anger, or anything else.
The Providence Center for Biblical Counseling. Call us for encouragement and direction from God's Word at 864-420-2688.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low-down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B, Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Calling for Truth radio program today. Just before the break, I mentioned to you the topic that we're talking about today. We're talking about the path to purpose, helping our children find their calling in life. And parents and youth workers, pastors, this program is for you because all of us are working with children, especially, of course, the 100% vested interest we have in our own children. Talk to a lot of parents who are just very frustrated in not knowing where the resources are to help their children discover what they should be doing in this life, what their calling is in life. And in this book, and we're going to get to that after we set the stage here a little bit more, but there's some helpful hints here in this book, some things that Dr. Damon has found in his very intense research here, things that he has found that can be helps to help parents and educators and youth pastors, anybody working with youth to help them to develop this purpose in their life. And I mentioned before the break, we've got a couple books to give away that have been provided by the publisher here today. And so if you'd like a copy of this book, if you call in with your question or comment, and again, we ask that if you've won a book in, you know, the last couple weeks or so, we just give somebody else a chance. You can still call in, but I just ask if you, the couple books I have are reserved for people that, haven't called in recently. But if you'd like a copy of this, I think you'd find it very helpful. The Path to Purpose, Helping Our Children Find Their Calling in Life. We've got a couple copies here, and we'll get one out to you as soon as possible. With that, let's go back to our discussion just before the break. We were asking Dr. William Damon, who's a Stanford University professor working as a director at Stanford Center on Adolescence, about describing for us, what do you mean by purpose? Give us a good working definition for our discussion today, if you would, please.
Sure. Well, there are three components, and it's helpful to keep all of them in mind, especially when you have these conversations with young people. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Kevin, I'll say that what you did with your daughter's friends is exactly the kind of thing that I recommend grown-ups do more of with kids, which is actually ask them some questions about their aspirations in their life.
Mm.
We're very good at talking at kids, I think, in schools and homes, but not so good often at being good listeners. And that's the first step that we need to do in triggering an interest in purpose and the kinds of things that ultimately give life meaning.
Mm.
The components of the definition that are helpful to keep in mind, number one, purpose needs to be meaningful to a person. You can't spoon-feed a purpose to a child or anybody,
mm-hmm.
no matter how noble it is. You can't say to somebody, I want you to go out and be the person that becomes a doctor and cures cancer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful, noble purpose. It has to be something that the person themselves finds interesting, a part of who they are. And so it has to be personally meaningful. That's number one, but that's not enough. It also has to be something that's consequential to other people. It can't be something that's just totally self-oriented and anything from hedonistic to self-aggrandizing or egotistical. That's not enough either. It has to really make a difference in the world, engage in the world outside the self, beyond the self,
mm-hmm.
Even kind of transcendent in some way. And by the way, that's one reason that faith is a very sure road to purpose, because there is a transcendent belief in something beyond the self.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, it has to be something that's above and beyond your own personal interests in life. And then the third component, which is very important in the culture that we live in nowadays, is that it has to be something that's on the distant horizon, more than just a short-term goal, a quick hit that, you know, you immediately expect to get results from. I mean, short-term goals are important sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a kid, it could be passing a test or, you know, studying hard to make sure that you get a good grade or getting a date to the prom next week. I mean, there's all kinds of short-term goals that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't purposes. Purposes are on the far horizon. They're long-term. They're enduring. And they help give us a kind of a compass, a kind of a stabilizing aim or goal that protects us from all the bouncing around and hard knocks that life provides.
Mm-hmm.
You keep that distant kind of moral North Star in mind, and you aim for it, and you don't always get there, and you sometimes get distracted or fail. But you keep that in mind and you keep going towards it, and it provides a tremendous motivator and stabilizer in life.
Mm-hmm. That first one that you mentioned there, the meaningfulness to the child, I think all of us, of course, have heard the horror stories of like a stage mom or some other situation where the parent is trying to live their life through the child and trying to, you know, over impose on them what they should do in their life. And of course, that's problematic to say the least. And I see a little bit of this, the second one that you talked about in some young people today, the idea of they want to be do something that is significant to the world. I do hear a lot of young people talking about, you know, some of the larger problems that we face in the world, specifically like hunger, you know, or in Africa or something along those lines. They're talking these big terms. And then I certainly agree with you about the long-term goal. And I think I remember in the book there that you mentioned that the short-term goals become important, but only as stepping stones to achieving the longer-term goal or the ultimate purpose that is there in the child's life. So if it's if you have a lot of these disconnected short-term goals, I think it is showing, it's significant because it's showing that there's a problem of not heading towards that, the long-term purpose that they've defined for themselves. Would that be fair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when you get a lot of kind of incoherence and the kind of scrambling around from one moment to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And kids that are doing those kinds of things without that sense of where you're heading, that sense of direction, are the ones that tend to burn out. And once they get past the context that they're living in, where people are encouraging them to do these short-term things, they don't sustain it for themselves. They need to have some inner belief and dedication and commitment to something that all of these short-term goals are leading up to, that these are means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the end in themselves. And what the purpose is, it's the ultimate concern, the ultimate end that answers the question of why am I doing all this stuff anyway?
Mm-hmm. I see many, many young people in that category right there. They may have some sort of stated purpose that they want to do, but the things that they then are doing in their life right now, or even plans for in the short term, seem so disconnected. My dad is a master at this, of sitting down with somebody and then talking with them, and then they say, well, you know, I want to go into nursing, and then he says, well, if you wanted to, you just told me you wanted to do that, then how does this class and basket weaving, you know, play into this? You know, why are you bothering to go, you know, why are you living here? Or why are you doing this? If this is what your goal is, I've actually, you know, had people just sit down and speak with him at different times just because I said, this will be therapeutic for you.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, so he does a very good job at this. Let me ask you about your research, though. I want people to understand the length that you went to in your research. How long did the research take? How many folks were involved in the research, you know, the actual subjects of the research? And can you explain that a little bit to us?
Sure. We've been doing this since 2002, and so that's about 6 years now. And at this point, we've surveyed 1,200 young people between the ages of 12 and 26 in all parts of the country and from every possible demographic and sociometric background, all ethnic groups. And we have interviewed some of them in great depth, even done some case studies where we interview their parents. And I think we've developed a pretty good sense of the state of mind of youth in this country now.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find, in a nutshell, is that there are a number of young people who are on track. We find about 1 in 5, about 20%, which is a teeny bit more optimistic than your 10%, I think, which you talked about.
Right.
But at least in our data, we're finding about 1 in 5. Now, that does leave the other 80%, and some of those young people are really very far away from purpose. They're almost purposeless. They really aren't even looking for something, and they're talking about their apathy or their cynicism or their hedonistic goals, and that's about a quarter of the whole population. And I think it's hardest for us to figure out how to talk with those young people in a constructive way because they're not that interested. But then the big majority of kids, which is about 60%, are actually looking, and they're good kids. They have sometimes dreams, and as you said, they're interested in doing important work in the world, solving problems, but they haven't really found what it is that they themselves want to do and a realistic way to prepare themselves for it. So they kind of flounder around from one dream to the, to another. You know, one week they might want to be a filmmaker. The next week they might want to go into charitable work or become a medical person. They, you know, they don't really stick with anything long enough to sustain it. And a lot of those kids will find something, if especially if they find the right kind of mentor, the right kind of guidance. But some of them won't, and that's, I think, our job as adults is to help give these kids the kind of guidance that can help help them solidify their dreams and turn them into real purposes that give them enduring, sustaining motivation and a practical way to actually accomplish what they believe they ought to be accomplishing.
Were you surprised by the findings? Did you expect when you started that research that, you know, the numbers would be much higher of the young people that you found that were on track, if we could use that term?
Well, I was surprised mostly by the purposeless group. I was surprised that 1 in 4 of the young people that we interviewed really didn't have a clue at all and weren't that interested. And they said, I don't know, I haven't, what's the big deal about goals anyway? Sometimes they said, I'm having a good time. Other times they were really discouraged and had kind of given up. But anyway, that's a very high proportion of the population. So that was one thing I was surprised at. I think the other thing to be pointed about the nature of the interests, I was surprised at how few of the young people who we interviewed had what we would consider to be civic purposes. In other words, aspirations to become leaders in our society, either political or local, run for city council someday, or be a school board member, or the mayor. And I remember when I was in school, probably about your age, because I have three kids about the same age that you do. When I was in school, it seemed to me half the kids in my class wanted to be president. I don't know. I mean, at least half the boys in my class at that time.
Yeah.
And that was seen as a noble aspiration to have. And so that worries me a little bit about the future of our democracy if we don't get a good, motivated cadre of young people who want to come go out and take on citizenship and be run for office or do community kinds of service, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it certainly is not only for a parent, but us as just citizens, these types of numbers coming back, that only 1 in 5 are on track, are certainly, I think, should be alarming to all of us, and we need to do something here. You know, I found that once a person finds out, once they figure out what it is that they should or want to do in this life, it's relatively easy to do it. I mean, there's a very quick path to it.
That's right.
And so that's the real startling point here.
That's right.
We're going to talk about this more when we come back from the break. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Christian Talk 660 is proud to offer you and your family the fair and balanced journalism that you've come to love and trust from Fox News Channel, now on your radio. Fox News Radio is on the air and is heard loud and clear throughout the Carolinas, Georgia, and Tennessee, right here on Christian Talk 660. For the latest headlines and breaking news from around the world, keep your radio tuned to Fox News Radio, here on Christian Talk 660.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the compliment to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B, Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Calling for Truth radio program today. Let me give you the phone number again and invite you. You can call in and speak with our special guest today, Dr. William Damon. He is with Stanford University, a professor there. He's also the director of the Stanford Center on Adolescence. He's the author of this book as well as the book Great Expectations. I didn't get a chance. I read a review about that book. I didn't get a chance to read that book myself yet, but seems like another interesting book from Dr. Damon. We're talking today about the path to purpose, and if you'd like to call and talk about, you know, how you can help your child find purpose or their calling in this life, you can certainly do that. Let me give you this number. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. There used to be an old program in Buffalo, New York that would say, the call is free, the results pay. And I can say that on this broadcast today because the call is free. And talking with Dr. Damon about how to motivate your child to find their calling in this life, it would certainly be worth the cost of that phone call. Let me, Dr. Damon, if we could, I wanted to get to, we've laid a pretty good foundation here, and I hope people don't think that the entire program is going to be about, you know, that we're going to talk about how bad kids are today, and, you know, we could certainly go down that route, and many, many people have, and we probably have a few times on this broadcast as well. But really, I want to turn the corner here a little bit because as I read your book, what I zero in on is this idea of the parental involvement in the lives of their children in order to help them find their calling, which, of course, is the subtitle of your book. But let me just read this. You say this on page 15 here. In a study that followed 7,000 American teenagers from 8th grade through high school, Barbara Schneider and David Stevenson came to a surprising conclusion. Contrary to popular or media images of hedonistic, fun-crazed youth, most of today's young do have ambitions that they would like to achieve, yet fewer of them have any real prospects of realizing these ambitions. Now, when you then talk about that research that was done, that study that they did, and you say this, there seems to be some hidden anguish in the misery of the youth that Snyder and Stevenson describe. What's more, the hidden nature of that this misery is part of the problem itself. As they observe, many parents seem unaware of the problem, and as I will address more fully later, the authors also point out that, quote, many parents do not see it as their responsibility to actively help their adolescents form plans for their futures, unquote. And I want to zero in on that right there, because I think, obviously, parents, as I mentioned, have a vested interest in their children succeeding. They, of course, you know, will generally say, you know, I want my child to do good, and I'll tell them about job opportunities or help them fill out paperwork for school. But I sense as well that they don't really whether it's through lack of tools or whatever, they don't have, they're not helping in the best way possible that they can. Do you sense that as well?
Well, sure, and it's not because they don't want to.
Right.
And there are no villains in this story. You know, the kids, in fact, you know, as you started by saying, the kids are not bad kids in any sense. They're good kids. They're doing what is expected of them, and they're trying hard. They're just not finding what they need to find in many cases. And as for the parents love their kids, and they do want to help the kids get along and give them advice and certainly, if the kids are in pain or in trouble, the parents, I mean, my God, any parent would jump to address that. But what the problem is that a lot of parents don't believe that the kids will listen. And they don't have that sense that, you know, he or she, my daughter or my son, really wants to hear from me mm-hmm. as to what's important to me, as to what my life is about, as to what kind of advice I can give them about how to accomplish some things that they may really want to accomplish. And I think we live in a very age-segregated society mm-hmm. where kids spend a lot of time with each other or with the media,
mm-hmm.
And the media are not providing much of a realistic view of, at least television, mm-hmm. of anything.
Right.
And the parents are thinking, gee, I'm not wanted here, or whatever I say is going to be uninteresting or unimportant. And what I write about in my book is that parents need to know that they are the strongest influence on their child's life of any of the experiences their kids are going to have. And it's not going to show up tomorrow morning. It's not as if you have a meaningful conversation with your child over dinner, and then next morning your child is very likely to say, hey, Dad or Mom, mm-hmm. thank you for giving me the answer to life. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But what will happen is over the years, in a lot of small ways, small bits of wisdom or sharing your own sense of what's meaningful to you, these things build up, and there's like a little voice that rings in a child's ear, and sometimes when the kid is 20 or 25 or 30, that voice comes alive
mm-hmm.
and gives them a sense of direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to have the kind of conversations with kids that unfortunately have been kind of squeezed out of our busy modern life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have dinners regularly with kids often enough. We don't talk to them about what we find important in our own jobs. I mean, these are the kinds of things that kids need to hear and they want to hear,
mm-hmm.
even if you may not believe that when they're, you know, out there spending their time with their pals.
I think it was Mark Twain who had made the statement that he said that when I was 18 years old, I couldn't believe how little my parents knew, and then when I turned 21, I was surprised in how much they had learned in the past 3 years.
Right. And how many times does a kid say, gee, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard, Mom, and then and then 5 years later says back that exact same thing
right.
to the mother
exactly.
as if the child is, and that's all right. You know, you can't, as a parent, you shouldn't be expecting to take a lot of credit for things.
Mm-hmm.
But you do want to help your kids get through life in a positive way.
Right. It surprises me often about just how much influence my parents have had in my life as well, and how much I think about that as I go about to do some things. Let's turn a corner here then, Dr. Damon, if we could. Let's give the parents then some ways that they can help their children. I listed four or five of them on the blog this morning.
Oh, good.
And so I'm hoping that we could talk through these. Our next break is coming up in just a couple minutes, so we'll only have a few minutes for the first one. But when we come back, we'll finish some more up. Let's look at the first one is, first of all, listening closely for what you call the spark, and then fan the flame. Let's expound that one a little bit.
Right. Well, find out what it is in school the kid has actually found interesting. There must be something there. And talk to the child about that, or what it is in the community. It could be anything, a love of sports, a love of history. And get to know your child and ask good questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fanning the flames is, and that gives you clues about what you can do, what kinds of activities you can do with your child, and be guided by that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the kids actually turn these kind of glimmers of interests and these little dreams into something that actually turns out to be a path to purpose, as I write about, something that they then develop resources and information about so they can realistically pursue them.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, they don't know about the resources that are available during those times like the parent would. We mentioned about you've got to be spending time and interact. You're not going to magically discover what their purpose or what their spark is. You're going to have to ask those questions, and this means time. I think the average right now, I can't remember the last article that I read on this, but it was something ridiculous, like 12 minutes a day is spent in actual conversation, you know, on average. I mean, it was very, very low. And so we're going to have to make a commitment right up front to listen, to, like you say, ask questions, to find out. And then once we find out, that's going to take some creative work to find out, you know, how we can spark that. If they're interested in animals, maybe, you know, some sort of a pass to the zoo and, all sorts of things that you can do there to fan that. And so we'll talk some more about that. I want to talk about mentors when we come back from the break. You're listening to Calling for Truth. You can call in today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, host of The Dave Ramsey Show, where life happens every day.
My brother started a business using his credit card, and what has happened since is he has just incredible business and has just taken off. It's not going the way that you showed me.
If you make a cocaine run from Columbia, you can make some money if you don't get caught. What's that make you think it works?
It all happens right here on The Dave Ramsey Show.
You can hear The Dave Ramsey Show weekdays from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Paul, anyone who knows you love pizza.
Isaac, I do indeed, and whenever I'm out at the Woodruff Road area, I go to Stevie B's. It's the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Now listen, this buffet goes all day long. They're open till 9 o'clock in the evening. They've got over 70 different kinds of pizza. 12 pizzas are out all the time. Listen, when you walk in, the folks are friendly. They'll make you a fresh pizza. They'll make you one at your request. I love it.
Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business, now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, welcome into the last segment of the Calling for Truth radio program today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535 if you want to get in a quick question or a comment during the last 10 minutes or so of the broadcast. Dr. Damon, just before the break, we had mentioned the first of the recommendations that you give here in the book about listening closely. The second one, though, was introduce your children to potential mentors. Expound that, if you would, please.
Well, a lot of the child's interests are going to extend beyond the things that you yourself know anything about, and you have a sense of some of the people who live in the community, or maybe somebody on your job, or somebody even in the school system that you can help your child make a connection to. if a child shows an interest in writing for the school newspaper, for example, maybe you can help the child get an internship at the local newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give them more of a realistic sense of what it takes to be a journalist, and just even hanging out with some of the people. And especially if you know some of the people who take an interest in providing guidance to young people. And I will say that one of the things I really try to emphasize in my book is that this doesn't have to be some kind of celebrity or heroic thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have found, even in working in fast food restaurants, which, you know, a lot of my colleagues criticize as being just flipping hamburgers or something,
mm-hmm.
that it's not that way at all. We have found that if the manager is on the right page, and we talked to one manager who said, you know, when I get a young kid working in for a summer job or working after school, I say to him, your job isn't just to flip the hamburgers. It's to put a smile on the customer's face.
Mm.
And think about your service to that person who might have had a hard day, who maybe this is a significant part of his paycheck to order that meal. And you want to be a positive factor in that person's life. And the kids that worked in that, under the supervision of that mentor,
mm.
in just this humble job of serving in a fast food restaurant, these kids came away glowing with a sense of service, a sense of what they could do. And, you know, in the old, in the old Christian sense, a calling could be anything.
That's right.
And in God's eyes, it's celebrated. It's noble. And every single occupation that we have, if we do it with the right attitude, can be purposeful.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before on the broadcast, the false dichotomy between sacred and secular calling, you know, that anything that God has called you to do in this life, whether that's a nurse, a teacher,
yeah.
A number of professions, that you should be doing that unto the Lord, that is your calling. He's specifically gifted you with
right.
the ability to be able to do that. You have a unique set of gifts that he has given you, and that is your calling. You point out, too, that parents then should discuss with their children their own callings about how they found their own purpose and direction in life.
Yes, and that's really important because, you know, we're very busy. Sometimes we get tired after a hard day's work,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of forget. You come home, maybe you grumble because your boss said something you didn't like. But how often do we tell our kids, you know, I really accomplished something today, and I'm proud of that. I clicked a few things on the computer, and that meant that a truckload of sardines made its way to Nashville, and, you know, or whatever. You
yeah.
know, we all do something that brings something to the world.
Yeah.
And to a lot of kids, what we do is mysterious. They have no idea why we're doing what we're doing or how that adds to the world. We need to share that with
mm-hmm.
kids. And by the way, I recommend that for teachers, too. You know, teachers very, very seldomly talk to kids about why they became teachers and the joy they feel at seeing a student learn something.
Mm.
This is exactly the kind of role modeling that kids benefit from, is when adults share their own sense of meaning with young people.
You mentioned that we should encourage an entrepreneurial attitude with our young people, but then in the following point you also say that we should teach them how to pursue these high aspirations in a realistic and
yes.
practical manner. Speak to those two, if you would.
Well, that's the combination that I really try to underline in The Path to Purpose. It's the combination of having these high aspirations and even idealistic,
mm-hmm.
But not just to then make them into romantic fantasies, but to find the mundane, everyday, even drudgery or frustrating little chores that you need to do in order to learn the skills, practice them, learn how to make your way and navigate through the real world. It's that combination that brings success to young people, and it's that combination that we need to try to foster in our students, in our children. And that's when I mentioned my research, you know, the great majority of kids that are indeed looking for something but haven't found it yet,
mm-hmm.
what we find is that they very very often have either one or the other. Mm. Either they have high goal and romantic fantasy, but they don't realize at all what it really takes to be a great filmmaker, let's say, mm-hmm. or something like that. Or they have the other. They're busy and they're doing everything, but they don't know why they're doing it, and they don't have any sense of why it's important or how it could be meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
So the hard thing is to get both of these things happening at once. That's what we need to focus on.
I love those behind-the-scenes stories, like during the Olympics, you know, they have these maybe the young girls in figure skating or something, you know, and you see young girls watching what they're doing in the triple suckows or whatever they call those things, or Lutzes or whatever.
Right,
you know, they've got all the glory and fame and medals are being put upon them, but they do these behind-the-story things, segments, and you see them get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go by themselves to the rink, you know, and fall numerous times, and then soaking their ankles afterwards because of what they went through. And then you get an idea of, you know, just how driven some of these young people are and how they're willing to do what is necessary, the discipline that is necessary to reach what we only see, you know, in the end product there a lot of times.
Exactly. And in my book, In the Path to Purpose, I profile some examples of young people who are exactly on this kind of track.
Mm.
And there are a number of them. And that's why I say I don't paint a gloomy picture of the youth population, because we have a good number of young people who are actually aspiring in this way and accomplishing stuff. And we can learn lessons from how they got there and what they've done to just help poke some of the other young kids who are looking for this kind of track themselves but haven't quite found their way to it.
We only have a few minutes left, literally just a couple, but tell us one of those stories quickly of somebody that stands in your mind, maybe Ryan.
Sure.
12-year-old Ryan, that might be a good story.
Yeah, Ryan was in elementary school when he heard a presentation in his class about how kids in Africa didn't have enough water to drink because they didn't have any wells in town. And the presenter said, it's a shame because it only costs $70 to build one of these things.
Mm.
And so Ryan went home and he got kind of concerned about this. He said, gee, I can save my allowance or do chores. I can get $70 together. He did this. Took him about a year. Brought the money in, said to the teacher, let me find that person. The person then said, oh, gee, Ryan, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It actually costs $2,000 to build a well.
No, boy.
And you would think he would crumble, but it didn't happen. The opposite thing happened. He just got pumped up, and he went and he became a fundraiser.
Mm.
And he went out and he twisted arms and raised money from his relatives, got the $2,000 together, got the well built. He got so inspired by seeing pictures of this and getting letters from some of the kids in the village that he actually started a whole foundation, and it's called the Ryan's Well Foundation. And they've built, at this point, $2 million worth of wells all over Africa. And he's 16 now. He's still going strong and really has found a purpose that has pulled his whole life together, has energized him. And I have a dozen other stories of really extraordinary kids like this. And then, of course, a lot of a little bit more normal stories of kids who are on a more ordinary track but still are highly energized and motivated by higher kinds of aspirations.
Mm. Well, that's great. And Dr. Damon, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy teaching schedule and writing schedule to take the time with us today to talk with us about this book. I think it's going to be a real help to many parents, give them some tools there to be able to engage their young people. So thank you very much again for doing
it. Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Okay. Thank you. We've been speaking about The Path to Purpose, Helping Our Children Find Their Calling in Life with Dr. William Damon. And you can get this book. It's put out by Free Press, and so you can look that up on the web, but Free Press, or you can simply go out to Amazon.com, of course, and you can find the book out there as well. I don't. I think I may have a link to it on our callingfortruth.org website. That's www.callingfortruth.org. You may be able to find a link there as well. Well, join us again tomorrow right here on Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.